Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
And this is the mini episode where we talk about things that are in the news.
Yep.
Things that we just found interesting or funny in general. I think sometimes whenever I listen to these back, I'm like, wow, we're really not giving them like a lot of like informative information, but it's just stuff we thought was interesting or cool.
I mean, isn't that kind of just like what a podcast is? It's like, hey, I found this thing. I think it's cool. If you think it's cool too, you can listen.
Yeah. And if not, I don't know, fast forward.
Or just, I guess, I don't know.
Don't you tell them not to listen.
I know. I was like, no, listen to the mini episodes. You have to. Oy.
Well, Madigan and I came off of a long day of day drinking.
It's been a good
today.
Day. It's yeah. been a good day. And we're drinking some more now. We're yeah. not drunk anymore.
Oh, no. But I did lose count of the number of mimosas I had this morning. Because when they say bottomless, I mean, that shit is bottomless.
But your boyfriend is fucking ridiculous.
Like, well, that's how you're supposed to drink bottomless mimosas.
I know, but he would like I was kind of trying to like keep track because I had to drive home, and he like I would drink half, and he'd be like, glug, 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 like,
yeah, no, that's how they do it. I definitely got up on more than one occasion to like do something, and then when I'd come back, my drink would be full again, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, because Anthony was just a fucking maniac.
It was good, whatever, man.
Yeah,
it was for my birthday, so I was kind of like, eh, fuck it, you know, I do what I want. It's my birthday.
Well, I mean, it's your birthday in what, 2 days?
It counts.
You know what I mean? I'm not trying to negate.
It was the birthday party.
I'm just saying. I know Chris was like, she's not having a party, she's having a brunch.
I know. I feel very grown up. Yeah. I feel very grown up having like a birthday brunch instead of like go. I usually do a big thing where we go out or like we've definitely had parties here.
But
at the house.
I liked this because I got to like talk to people.
Yeah, it felt good. Fun. It felt like
eat good
you know.
Food.
Yeah, and we went to the Federal in North Hollywood, and they have such a good brunch special.
Yo, I had banana rum pancakes, waffles.
Yeah,
so good. So, yeah, the entire, like, I'm usually not a member of the Clean Plate Club. I ate every fucking morsel on that plate.
So I definitely said, whatever, it's my birthday in more than one way, because I also had, they have breakfast pasta carbonara
that
there.
That shit was good.
It was so good.
I kept, like, nomming off of Amy's plate, like, don't mind if I do.
Yeah, it's basically carbonara pasta with a fried egg on top. It was amazing.
Yeah, the sauce was so good.
So I definitely came home, took like a long ass nap, and then I was like, I'm not going to drink anymore. But then you came over and I was like, well, my friend and friend of the show, Jillian Forster, gave me this awesome bottle of sparkling wine. And it is Nasty Woman from Boss Lady Bubbles, Washington.
It's super good.
And it is so good.
I want to know where she got it so I can buy it.
She got it from Uncorked. It's a wine shop in Hermosa. So she lives in Hermosa.
Oh, I was like, I'm not driving out there.
No, but like, well, I'll probably go this summer. Mm. But in the back of the bottle, I love this. It says, a nasty woman can be on the left, on the right, or in the middle. A nasty woman is a leader and a fighter. She is a strong, powerful believer in equality for everyone, regardless of race, class, gender, creed, and sexual orientation. If these are your ideals, you're a nasty woman. Isn't that lovely?
People just get you.
I know. They get me.
They get you.
They're like, what do we need to give Keegan? Feminist wine.
Anything fucking feminist, especially feminist alcohol.
Yeah, that's the best.
I just got such a kick out of how many people either recognized my face from
the
like
artwork.
Our logo or like when I introduced myself recognized my voice.
I was like
oh my god,
you're like, oh my gosh, I feel famous. Thanks.
I told Chris, I'm like, Chris, I'm really famous in Keegan's circle of friends.
Well, it's also a testament to, and I don't think we've ever said this on the show, but Madigan did our logo for the show.
Hi.
And it's also a testament to how well you drew yourself. Because they definitely recognized you.
I also did it so, like, such a cheater's way of doing it.
It counts. I don't care.
It counts, but it's like, it is kind of cheating. I have an iPad Pro that I use, and I use Procreate, and you can do, you know, layers and stuff like Photoshop. And then I basically just, like, traced it and added shit to it.
Well, it was effective, so don't sell yourself
I'm
short.
I'm not.
You know?
I'm just explaining because I don't want people to think I'm that good at faces when I'm not.
I know, like, they're going to be commissioning things for you.
Send me a picture and I will.
I'll do my best.
I'm not just one of those people who's like, draw me and it'll be epic. Not like that. So do you want to go first? Is something to talk about? Sure.
Why not? So, just for the record, today I kind of thought we were going to be doing a full length and a mini, so I was
I don't know if Keegan fucked up or if I fucked up or if we both fucked up.
I think neither one of us fucked up. I think we just didn't communicate what we were doing. But that's fine.
Because I thought just because we didn't do, because we did a late episode last time.
No, so totally. I think you're right. I think, like, that was the original plan, and then in my head I was just like, oh, we're So anyway, I spent too much time trying to, like, look into researching that and not enough time looking at things that were in the news, but I had bookmarked some things on my Facebook. So the first thing that I have is, it's not funny and I shouldn't laugh. This is from NPR and it's Alabama sheriff legally took $750,000 meant to feed inmates, bought a beach house. So
What a great way to make some extra money for a good beach house, you know?
Just take it from, literally take it from the mouths of inmates in prison.
Yeah, you know?
So I guess there's, like, this loophole. It says Alabama has a Depression era law that allows sheriffs to keep and retain unspent money from jail food provision accounts. Sheriffs across the state take excess money as personal income, and in the event of a shortfall, are personally liable for covering the gap. So I don't really know what that means. Like, excess money. What kind of excess money do you have, and how do you have $750,000 of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, if any of us have watched Orange is the New Black, we know that's just not the case.
I know. I mean, and you've got people in prison, like, working for pennies. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it feels wrong.
Yeah.
It feels super wrong. And it says Etowah County Sheriff Todd Entricken told the news that he follows that practice of taking extra money from the fund, saying, "The law says it's a personal account, and that's the way I've always done it." It's a personal account? What? I don't understand how this law came to be or why it exists.
Well, if it started during, like, the Depression era, mm-hmm. it was probably, you know, there were definitely no rights for inmates, I think, at that point. So it was probably their way of helping pay the people that...
Right. They probably couldn't really afford to pay their sheriff, like, what they...
Right. Well, and then the people who were in jail had no rights. So they were like, okay, well, then whatever's left over, you guys can take as, like, a yearly bonus or things like that.
I don't know. It just seems like...
I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but that's probably their way of thinking
I totally agree with you. It's just, for me, I'm just like... I don't understand this concept of leftover money. It just seems like, other than you're literally spending the bare minimum, or at least it's encouraging people to spend the bare minimum on food. So you're getting, like, the lowest quality food and the lowest amounts of it you can so that you have as much excess money as possible to buy a beach house with.
Exactly. Then they're purposefully spending less money and cutting corners to have money left over.
I mean, they have to be.
Yeah.
Our prison system is just, like, so fucked. Shitty. It's so fucked.
We were literally just talking about how I yawned into the microphone on the last episode because my mom was giving me a critique and I literally was like, yeah. Like, I was like, I don't yawn into the microphone, and I literally just yawned twice in the last, like, couple minutes. Like,
I mean, you don't know until you know.
I know. And I'm like, damn it. Another thing for me to be aware of, man.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, listening to the episodes back, you hear things that, like, I definitely have a habit of saying things. I do that, yes. And then I also say things, like, into my wine glass, where I'll be like, yes. And you can totally hear that I'm, like, taking a drink.
Or I'll take, like, a 5-second beat. I'll just, like...
A long pause.
I guess I do that. I've found that I do it a lot in life, though, too. I'll be like, oh, my God, yeah. And then, like,
you just think about what you're going to say. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're just thoughtful. You're a thoughtful speaker.
Editing makes us sound so smart, though. Oh,
my God. I mean, we can say that, but then people are going to be like, oh, I thought they still sounded really stupid. They're like, how stupid are they if editing really makes them sound better, you know?
No, it's just not as many, like, lulls. We don't have to take as many pauses. That's pretty much it.
So we can move on from this, but I just wanted to say, like, so he ended up buying this guy, this sheriff. He and his wife own several properties worth a combined $1.7 million in Alabama.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a sheriff, I feel like.
And yeah, and right? I feel like the cost of living in Alabama is low.
Right.
So that seems like
those are some really fancy, fancy houses.
Yeah, and he, including a 740,000 four-bedroom house in Orange Beach, Alabama, purchased in September, without the provision funds, Entrekin, I hope I'm saying that right, earns a little more than $93,000 a year. That still seems like a lot for a sheriff.
Yeah.
In a statement emailed to NPR, Entrekin said, "The liberal media has been attacking me for following the letter of the law." Listen, just because you're following the letter of the law doesn't mean that you're right. Not an asshole. Like,
yeah, or that it's right.
You're still an asshole. Like, this law can exist. That doesn't mean you have to take advantage of it. You know, yeah. Like, but it is what it is. Anyway, what do you have for us today?
I will stay in line with Alabama. Last week, we did a lot of Florida. This week, I'm going to do an Alabama.
Just coming for the South hard.
Coming for it. Alabama lawmaker doesn't want to arm teachers because having a gun just isn't ladylike, now is it?
And it's difficult because you're like, on the one hand, yes, we shouldn't be arming teachers. Because you're
but
like,
why
you're
are
like,
you making like, it yes. a lady thing?
You're like, yes, I'm with you. And then he's like, because it's not ladylike. And then you're like, oh.
This is from Splinter News.
Also, male teachers exist.
Right.
What are you talking about?
But again, that's the inherent sexist women are teachers.
Yeah, rhetoric, you know,
it's
sort
a feminine occupation. In the wake of the Parkland shooting, the very dumbest idea that's gotten perhaps the most traction is the proposal that teachers and school staff should be able to carry loaded weapons in schools, just in case one of their students gets the idea that they should commit mass murder. Alabama, which suffered its own school shooting less than 2 weeks ago, is currently considering its own bill that would do just that. At least one Republican state legislator has already publicly come out against it, but for a decidedly very bad reason. He thinks most teachers are women who are terrified of firearms.
Oh, he's just pissing off women on both sides of the aisle with this.
This is his quote. It says, "I'm not saying all women, but in most schools, women are the majority of the teachers," Shiver told Al.com. "Some of them just don't want to be trained to process firearms.
Possessed.
If they want to, then that's good. But most of them don't want to learn how to shoot like that and carry a gun. I've heard that 75% of Republicans support it, but I was there live and in person, and I know what it's like in schools." What?
Are you saying you went to school because you want a cookie?
Like, that's what I think. Yeah, I was there live in person.
Or does he mean, like, when the shooting in Alabama happened?
I don't know. I think he was probably, yeah, there, around there. "Most women wouldn't like to be put in that position. I know from South Alabama, they wouldn't."
And I feel like what he just did also really pissed off Southern women. Because if I know anything, being a person who came from South Missouri, which they very much consider themselves part of the South.
Yeah.
Southern women, if anybody's gonna shoot, it's gonna be them.
Yeah.
Like, I know lots of women who shoot in the South. And own guns in the South.
Yeah.
So, what a weird thing to say.
He's just putting his foot in his mouth. Because this is actually not a bad thing. It says... Shiver told, I don't know if it's Al or AL.com, it's for Alabama.
AL. Yeah.
I mean, I like Al.
I mean, both work, it's the same
thing. That he has another reason for opposing the bill, because cops responding to a school shooting could open fire on a teacher who has the gun, thinking that the teacher is the shooter. And that's something that we talked about on last week's mini episode. So that, to me, makes sense. And honestly, that should have been where we stopped.
Yeah, why didn't he lead with that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand... Yeah, but that's regardless of sex. You know what I mean? Like, either way.
He was bringing up an issue that didn't need to be brought up.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, is this going to be the last episode before March for Our Lives?
I think so. Because this will be on Thursday, right? No. Yes.
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 Oh, my God. Why was that so hard?
I don't know. It was really difficult.
Yes, it was. God, we've had too much champagne. My brain is like, no mas. We
I've
cannot think anymore.
I've had a long fucking week, man. It'll actually just be a few days before.
Because it's on the 24th. Mm-hmm. So,
And we'll be putting this up on the 22nd. So, happy March 22nd.
Guys. Happy day
Two days after Keegan's birthday.
Yeah, happy 2 days after my birthday, you guys. I hope you had a good my birthday on Tuesday. God, we're going off the rails.
Tuesday's going to be the best day ever
for
everybody.
I'm feeling good about it. I am. I'm going to go see Strangers Pray at Night. I'm really excited.
I don't know what that is.
It's a horror movie.
Oh, okay.
So
I like that.
I love horror movies, so
I do too. Stoked. You're my horror movie girl.
Yeah, no
I
one else likes them.
I don't have a, Chris won't watch them with me. I don't have anyone else to watch horror movies with. So if
Anthony
you ever,
goes with me.
If you ever need another pal, I know because when I first met him, we watched Pet Sematary.
Yeah,
together.
That's true. Well, on the 24th, we are going to go to March for Our Lives again. I'm just reiterating this in case mm-hmm. anybody is listening to this episode first and they haven't listened to the other ones. But you know, we've said it in every episode. We are going to be going to that. We'll definitely yep. post about it with information to those who are in LA if they want to join us. And if I can find a list of sister marches, I will post that as well.
Yeah, it'd be fun like to get as many people that want to join us find a place that we could meet.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of my friends are planning on going, yeah. so we can definitely
I think that would be really
all meet up together. That'd be cool. But so we'll definitely post about that. I know it's actually kind of funny. A lot of our, because we look at our analytics, and a lot of our leading cities are in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, like, Vancouver, Toronto,
and Quebec.
Ontario. So we have, like...
Is San Francisco still number one right now?
No, it's not, but that was weird.
That was rad.
It was rad, but, like, it overtook... Usually LA and Burbank kind of fight each other for the number one spot. And yeah. this time it was, like, San Francisco, Burbank, Los Angeles.
And it blows my mind that... Like, I know there's one person in Ketchum listening, that's my mom. But, like, she was always at, like, number four.
For a long time she was, because we had, like, no listeners.
Right, well, and she just, like, listens. I think she probably re-listens, too. Like, I think she just misses me and, like...
Keeps it on listens. In the background.
Oh, that's so cute.
No, it's cute. Okay, so let's see. What else do we got this week?
A few more things. I have one more, I think, kind of, like, semi-serious thing, and then I've got a few, like, lighthearted ones.
I only have one lighthearted one.
I'm going to finish taking my sweater off. Okay.
Oh, my God. I love your shirt.
Thank you. Chris gave it to me for my birthday. I'm wearing a Golden Girls shirt.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
I love it. When we talk about our favorite feminist TV shows, I'll definitely be bringing up Golden Girls.
It's so good.
So many great girl power episodes in that show. Okay, here. Some Republicans are pretty into the idea of making drug crimes punishable by death.
Oh, my God.
This is from The Slot. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the... photograph at the top of the article is just the smuggest looking photo of Donald Trump in the world.
No.
Just
I mean,
nasty.
Most of his are pretty smug.
Right. He's just got this weird smirk in his eyebrows, like.
He's got bad brows.
He's just got bad.
Honey.
Bad everything. Honey.
Get a threader. Brows. Get an eyebrow threader.
Yeah. Donald Trump's campaign promised to address the opiate crisis, and his love for Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte was added up to about what you'd expect. He reportedly has a proposal in the works recommending a capital punishment for certain drug crimes, and Republicans are thrilled. Duterte is perhaps most infamous for his extrajudicial killings of alleged drug dealers, a plan of action Trump has praised as an unbelievable job on the drug problem.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Trump, for his part, has been toying with the idea of the death penalty for alleged drug dealers for at least a little while now. If you shoot one person, they give you life. They give you a death penalty, Trump said earlier this month at the White House summit on opiates, as reported by Politico. These people can kill 2,000 to 3,000 people and nothing happens to them.
Okay, but here's the difference. Do I think that drug dealers destroy communities? Yes. But that's not the way our justice system works.
And they're also not, it's not an intentional, like, yes. Are they hurting people? Yes. But it's not like a premeditated, I'm going to kill
well,
this
and
person.
Are they doing things that are contributing to these people's deaths? Especially, like, considering the opioid crisis in the United States right now. Yes, of course. However, that's not how our justice system works, because the people who are buying the drugs are, one, they're suffering from the disease of addiction, but two, they're making a choice. Like, you can punish the person for selling the drugs because that's illegal.
Yes.
But it's not the same thing as actual murder.
Yeah.
Like, it's terrible and horrible, and I don't want anybody to write us saying, like, you are advocating for drug dealers. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying if you break it down by our laws, it's not the same thing, and it shouldn't be punished in the same way. And I'll go on record right now and say that I'm not pro-death penalty anyway, so.
Yeah. All right, so this says, but no, these were not just the murderous musings of a sundowning grandpa. Politico reports that this is an official policy in the works. According to language circulating this week, the Trump administration will call for the death penalty as an option in certain cases where, is it opioid?
Opioid,
I was saying it so wrong. Including fentanyl?
Fentanyl, Yeah.
You're so much smarter than me.
No, I just watch a lot of Intervention. That's all.
Related drug dealing and trafficking are directly responsible for death. And some Republicans are, ellipses, into it? According to the Weekly Standard, the idea went over well with the Republicans in Congress on Thursday. If the president would support it, I am very open to hearing it, House Rules Committee Chairman Peace Sessions told me.
What?
Florida Republican Brian Mass didn't take a position but added, there's some reason in there, right? If drug dealers are bringing people's lives to an end on a mass scale, he surmised, then there should be room for such a debate.
First thing, I just want to point out the number of times that Trump has praised dictators.
First, a lot of times.
First thing.
Loves them. He loves him some dictators.
And how much this country and the right would be losing its goddamn mind mm-hmm. if any other president, specifically our last president, said mm-hmm. anything remotely similar yeah. as far as on the side of dictators.
I really love the author of this article because he says, and while making drug crimes punishable by death is a new level of vile, draconian bullshit, the Trump administration isn't alone in the thinking, wrongly, that severe punishments will solve a public health crisis. The number of federal prosecutors have been pushing to charge drug dealers with murder after overdose deaths, particularly in places hit hard by opioid crisis. In certain cases when it's very direct and intentional, and
if you shot someone up on purpose with the intent to
or kill them, selling them drugs with the intent to kill them, or then there could be an investigation.
Yeah, but again,
it doesn't mean that like it's just directly. Yes, it is still that person's choice to take the drugs.
Well, I mean, and here it becomes a very touchy subject or issue because the line between choice and addiction is a difficult one.
Yeah,
you know, because I think you could argue that it's not as much of a choice as it is like a physical need.
Yes.
That they have a really hard time coping and dealing
yes,
with.
Yes, without proper help, it's
but that's exactly the thing. It's just like how many drug dealers are also drug users?
Yeah.
And we need a better way of dealing with helping these
people. Better rehabilitation. We need help. Yeah.
We need better health care. We need better health care. But you don't want to talk about health care. You know what I mean?
You just want to kill the people that sell drugs. I mean, to me, it just seems like a very Band-Aid solution where they're
it's not going
to
work.
No, it's not. And they're like, what's the easiest way to suppress this for now? You know, it's sticking a Band-Aid on and then the second you
jump
in the shower.
Yeah, you're asking people with addictions to make rational choices
yeah.
about consequences, which is not something that
they're still gonna do it and try to get away with it because they've gotten away with it for so long
because they're addicts. Like
yeah.
watch one episode of Intervention
yeah
and try and tell me that these people are like thinking rationally about the ways in which their drug use or selling drugs or whatever is affecting their lives
right.
negatively.
Exactly.
So they're not going to rationally think like, oh, I need to stop selling drugs because I could get the death penalty. They don't care.
No,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? It's not going to work.
Think of all the murderers who know that the death penalty is a thing.
Well, and their body's addicted to something. They're not going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Like, just because you tell them there's going to be bad consequences. Like, they
yeah.
know that.
Yeah.
They're going to do it anyway.
Exactly. Is your next one lighthearted? Because I have one more semi-serious
Mine's
one.
Lighthearted, so go ahead.
All right. Jezebel.com, the Academy president, is being investigated for allegations of sexual harassment. Are we
That's
surprised?
Not surprising. No.
John Bailey, president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, is reportedly under investigation for sexual harassment allegations. Variety reports that according to their sources, the Academy received 3 harassment claims on Wednesday and opened up an investigation. The news comes after the Academy began taking steps to prevent sexual harassment within its organization in light of Me Too. After banning Harvey Weinstein from the Academy in October 2017, the organization set up a new code of conduct for members, stating clearly that the Academy is categorically opposed to any form of abuse, harassment, or discrimination on the basis of gender, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, disability, age, religion, or nationality. If any members are found by the Board of Governors to be violating these standards, they may be suspended or expelled. Bailey is a cinematographer. He was elected in August of 2017. He expressed a commitment to expanding the diversity of the Academy's membership to welcome more women and minorities, but that, you know, doesn't mean that he's not
a creep.
Shitty.
Yeah.
So
what are the allegations, do we know?
It doesn't say. Runs right into the article about Blue Ivy bidding on a painting for $19,000.
How? Okay. No, it's not important. It's not important because I don't understand. I don't understand how that would work.
That's her allowance, Keegan. She saved her allowance for a Sidney Poitier painting. Deal with it.
I mean, I don't doubt that she gets a high allowance. I'm just, how does one bid at that age? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, did her parents bid?
Why don't you ask Beyonce?
I would love to. Bay.
Go for it.
Bay.
Call me.
Let's have lunch. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the ways that I think you are...
Bay, Jay, Blue, sup.
Let's have a sit down. And the other two, because now there are twins.
That's true.
Whose names I...
Can't remember.
Can't remember right now.
Yeah.
I feel like a bad...
Although I can name all of the Kardashian Kim's kids.
Yes. It's North, Saint...
Saint and Chicago.
And Chicago. Oh, God. That's so
Kylie's
bad.
Kylie's is Stormy. Courtney has... Mason and is a girl.
Penelope. Oh my God, I feel dumber from having this conversation.
Chloe has not had her baby yet. I know. And
what's Rob's kid in Black China's
Dream.
Kid? Dream. Oh God, that's bad. That is so bad. And I feel bad. No, I feel dirty for high-fiving you because that is messed up that we know that.
I don't watch the show.
I don't either, but I know. It's,
the Kardashian information is one of those things is through osmosis.
Yeah, it seeps in. Like, it totally just seeps in.
It goes through my pores.
Yeah,
I just know it.
Yeah. It is weird, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm glad that the Academy is being serious about these allegations.
I think they have to be at this point.
Really digging into these things. I think that it's fantastic. And, you know, I saw another article where they were mentioning how female architects have a whole, like, list, too, and things like that. And it makes me so happy that people are, you know, this is kind of going back to, like, our very first episode. I'm glad that this is opening a conversation for all different types of workforces. Mm-hmm. And
well, because, I think we've said this every time we've talked about sexual harassment. It is in every single workforce. Mm-hmm. There is not one where it does not exist.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Kimmel said a great quote at the Oscars where he was saying how, you know, sexual harassment in the workforce needs to go away, basically, because they need one place where they can get a break from sexual harassment, because they get it everywhere else in the world. They shouldn't be getting it at work.
Well, they shouldn't be getting it everywhere else in the world, too.
No, but that was his joke, where he was kind of saying, like, we at least need to get rid of this, because then at least they won't be,
you need a safe space somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I do think that's great. I also think that it's sad that it came to this, because when you talk about people who are in this kind of, like, high, who are in these positions of power, there's no way that there weren't allegations before, or, you know what I mean? There's no way, that is what I always think, is, like, there is no way that people didn't know. There's no way people didn't know about Harvey Weinstein. There's no way people didn't know about the president of the Motion Picture Association.
Right, but
it's great that people are doing something about it now, and like, that's fantastic.
Right.
But I think they're also better late than never. I think they're in a position where they have to. Like, you can't not.
Yes.
Without your entire organization, like, stinking in high heaven at this point.
Exactly.
You know?
So, I mean, at least it's getting done now.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take away from the shitty things that happen.
I'm not trying to always sound like a downer.
No, I know. But it still needs to be brought up. I don't think you're a downer.
Well, thank you, Madigan.
You're welcome.
So
da,
we
da,
can...
Da, 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 Black Panther Corner.
I know, honestly. We're going to just have a corner of our What's in the News episodes that just talk about Black Panther, apparently, because I don't know if there's some kind of alert on my computer. I don't know if my FBI agent that I've been designated for my computer has pinged that about me. That I always want to know about Black Panther because it pops up all the time on my computer.
I want to make like a theme song now. Da 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 da. Black Panther Corner.
Bum, bum. Okay, we're gonna get sued. So
for real,
Vogue wrote an article about how Black Panther's badass female warriors are getting their own spinoff, which we were just talking about in the last episode.
Yep.
How bomb we find the like general from that that movie. She and the other women, I can't pronounce this, Dora Milaje? I don't know. But apparently that's what they're called, the armed guard from Black Panther. They are all getting a spinoff of their own, which I think is
like the super comic books, right? Not
like a comic book spinoff.
Right. I mean, I'm sure a movie spinoff is to come.
I would hope so.
Success of it, you know.
Yeah, I would totally hope so. But I am really excited for it. I've never been like a huge comic book person, like,
but for this.
But for this, I totally would. I read the Walking Dead comics. There are certain comics that I did read, but I would totally.
Well, it's funny because it's the same woman.
Yeah. It's the same actress. But I would absolutely read this. And I also just think it's so important and so fantastic for representation for Black girls to feel like you can be powerful in a way that's not depicted as overly aggressive. You know what I mean? Because everyone always categorizes Black women as being like loud and aggressive in a really bad way. And this is saying like, no, you're powerful and strong. And I just love that. I love that they're going to have this and like little Black girls are going to grow up with this and these images. I think is
definitely
amazing.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to play. Oh, this isn't it.
What is that?
Okay. It's, or maybe it is. Okay.
Oh, no, no.
Then tell the cat.
I can't believe you categorized this as lighthearted.
I mean, it's not my most lighthearted, so I had to put it in somewhere, you know? So, you know.
So that is Bento the cat, who was the keyboard playing cat.
Yep.
Bento, passed away.
Yep, an alleged distant relative of the 1980s video artist and woman cat pianist Fatso. Or maybe he was Fatso.
I thought he was Bento.
Whose performance persona became popularized in the late aughts as Keyboard Cat has died.
Oh, how old was he? You know I hate sad cat news.
It says, surprise, Keyboard Cat was a woman. I don't know why that's a surprise.
God, sexism even in the animal world. That's bullshit. Like,
owner Charlie Schmidt says that Bento, there you go, his alter ego was Fatso. So, owner Charlie Schmidt says that Bento was adopted in 2010 from a shelter. Bento's shtick piggybacking on the piano stylings of Fatso. What the
I know what they're saying. There was another cat in the 80s called Fatso who was a keyboard playing cat.
Thank you.
So basically they're saying that he was a distant relative of Fatso and so he played the keyboard as well.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Keyboard Cat 1 and 2 are survived by all other cats, which are all lovable more than less interchangeable.
They don't say how old Bento was?
Let me see. November 2009 to March 2018. That's got to be the second cat.
No, that's Bento, 2009 to 2018.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, but that's not that long for a cat.
That's not long for a cat.
That's 9 years?
You know, but you know what they say about musicians? They live hard.
They
lives.
Live hard and die young.
You know, it's...
Live fast, die young.
Live fast and die young.
Yeah, because, I don't want to think about that. That's not that old.
I'm sorry.
Matilda will be 6, I think. My cat, Matilda. Well, that's not very old.
No, it's not.
That's sad. What were they doing? Why weren't they taking better care of Bento Cat?
I don't know.
I'm deeply offended.
They don't say anything. I'm really disappointed, but I still wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, it was worth bringing up.
R.I.P.
R.I.P., yeah.
The other thing I have is Tamagotchis are finally coming to your phone, where you can slowly kill them at your own convenience.
Great. Great.
You know?
But you know what? No, give me a Tamagotchi, like, keychain or give me nothing.
For real.
I don't want any of this bullshit on my
phone.
Right?
It says, after decades of being confined to little plastic eggs and the occasional, usually Japan-only video games, nostalgia-rich pet stimulators, Tamagotchi are finally coming to people's phones where we can all fuck up raising them at our own convenience.
Tamagotchis, I did have one. Did you have one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they...
I always did a little golden retriever dog.
They were definitely, like, the 90s... early 2000s version of a pet rock. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't do anything. And it didn't seem to matter, really, like, how much you fed them or did whatever. They always died.
Well, you had to sleep, and then they would die. But I'd always wake up in the morning to my little dog with angel wings. It says the download is free, but you can trade some money or ad watching time for bonuses and perks for your little tykes. I mean, isn't that how it is with every app now?
Yeah. I take the ads always. I'm like, you can't trick me into paying for this shit.
per Mashable, the game's designers apparently haven't skimped on the shit-based nature of the classic Tamagotchi experience either. Prepare to drag and flick a lot of adorable cartoon poos into a toilet while you're training your little friend. Maybe don't combine that one with the much-touted tickle feature, huh?
Okay, well, here's what we should do. We should test it out.
I'm for sure getting
just,
it.
Just to report back.
For sure.
Because I know it's going to be trash, and again, I don't think it was necessary. I think I would really prefer a classic Tamagotchi. In fact, if someone got me, like, a classic Tamagotchi, I would proudly put it on my keychain.
There's one that's on the App Store right now that's called Tamagotchi Forever, but it's 99 cents. So I don't think that's the one.
The new version's not out
Let
yet.
Let me see. When is it available?
Did they not give a release date? Do they not know that we need to know?
No, they're not telling me. Let's look in the comments.
Well, we can just Google it later. I mean...
Oh, wait, it says, announced at the release of a new mobile game, My Tamagotchi Forever, this week.
When was that article written?
This was written on yesterday.
Oh, well, it's coming. It's forthcoming.
But there's Tamagotchi Forever, but it's a dollar. Well, updates to come.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't that good. No. It wasn't that good to start with. So, I think that's all we've got. Anything else? Do you have anything else?
No, I just love you.
I love you, too. Thank you for coming to my birthday today.
Thank you for having a birthday and being alive.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I do what I can. That's the least I can do. You know what I mean?
Everyone wanted Keegan to give a speech, and she's like, no. And I gave the most lukewarm speech ever. But
I appreciated it deeply.
No, in all honesty... Thank you for being my friend and being one of the most supportive human beings I have in my life.
Aww.
And for being such a constant and dependable human being. You make my life better by being in.
Aw, thank you. That was a beautiful speech. Thank you.
I tend to use humor as a defense mechanism in large crowds.
Because I get deeply uncomfortable.
I was like, she has curly hair. She's super cool. And she's a feminist badass.
And I was
Happy
like,
birthday.
All true things. Thank you very much, Madigan.
The end.
The end. And thank you, listeners, for sticking with us this week. If you have any interesting news articles or anything that you want us to like read, because we definitely... don't have time to, like, look through everything. I get most of my news either from things people send me, articles people send me on Jezebel or
Put them on our Facebook page. Send them to us through Instagram.
Yeah.
We need to start checking Twitter more, but send them through Twitter.
Yeah, I've been
start
trying to get on there, but
I feel like
been...
if there's more things happening, I'll check it more. So if you guys want to start being active on Twitter, I will happily be more active on Twitter.
Yeah, and just so you know, we are YANF Podcast on Twitter.
Yes.
YANF Podcast on Twitter. We are on Facebook at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com.
We are on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
Yeah, I just said that.
You said Facebook.
Did I say Facebook?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Instagram. Our Facebook is Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
Our full name.
Yeah. So, and don't forget to send us your sister solidarity stories. We're still looking for those. I haven't gotten any. I know.
I really want to hear them, though. I feel like it'd be a really fun thing to share of how women are supporting women.
Yeah. So if you have a story of girls supporting girls or anything like that, just an inspirational story, then... go ahead and hashtag Sister Solidarity and tag us so that we see it.
Yeah.
And we will read your story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well.
We encourage you
to rage on. Bye-bye.